All our homeschooling decisions were made with consulting the children, so it wasn't anything we ever imposed.
Kids were flabbergasted when I said I never had a test. You know, I never had a test. I just learned things so that I knew them, and once I knew them, that was fine.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Beverly Shepherd. We saw John Holt, who wrote Teach Your Own, on television a long time ago, I guess about the time that my oldest, who is now 29, was starting school. He was interviewing parents who had homeschooled their children and some of the children and talking about his work and his theories, and it sounded pretty good to us. At that time, Bill 82, I think, that set up special education in Ontario, had just come in, and we knew that there were going to be special classes for gifted children and various other services, but in general, we had the feeling that gifted children, and all of ours have been identified gifted, didn't get their needs met very well in the public system. We thought about it for a while, we read the book, and by the time our oldest, Ben, was about to go into grade 5, I believe, and so Emily about to go into grade 3, and they had both skipped a grade at this point, we felt ready to homeschool. At that point, Ben was going into a full-time gifted class, so it seemed appropriate for him to continue with that. But Emily was too young for that class, and she was very interested in homeschooling. She embraced the idea completely. All our homeschooling decisions were made with consulting the children, so it wasn't anything we ever imposed. Emily was not thrilled in school. She felt kind of on a different wavelength from most kids. So she was very interested in schooling at home. By the time she'd been homeschooling a couple of years, it was Diana's turn to start school, and she went to kindergarten. Kindergarten was, we thought, a good way to get kids going in a social situation. At the end of kindergarten, she said, well, she was finished with school. She knew homeschooling was an option, and she wanted it. We actually had her go to grade 1 just for a couple weeks until she had been assessed as being at the grade 2 level, so that when we took her out and said she's now in grade 2, we wouldn't get any argument from the school board. She stuck it out those couple weeks, but I don't think it was her favorite time. And along about a year or so after that, I guess, Ben had gone through the gifted program for grades 5, 6, 7, and 8. In middle school, his experience was not very good. And when he finished that gifted program, he said he was not going to high school. So he homeschooled in high school, not elementary school, until he reached the point where he decided that he'd like to go back to school to get OAC credits, which were not offered through distance learning, so that he could have a high school diploma, which would make it simpler applying to university. Certainly, kids who have homeschooled completely through high school do get into universities, but they have to jump through a lot of hoops, or at least they did, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. So he felt that would be his best procedure. So he did go back for his OACs. And then our youngest, Beth, whose approach to many things in life has been to do it differently from her three older siblings, decided not to homeschool at all. And she got along very well in school and had a series of very helpful teachers, also some that weren't so helpful. In order to continue to be able to homeschool, and at that time they were watching people fairly carefully, we had to at least submit that we were following the Ontario Curriculum Guidelines, which I had, and the school board was very cooperative about giving them to me. As far as when we did it or how we, you know, what our units and themes were, that was pretty much child-based. The curriculum guidelines were very broad. You know, you have to learn a certain amount of Canadian history and geography, and how it's taught or at what level is not necessarily designated in the guidelines, or at least at that time. They've changed enormously since then, of course. And the things like, by a certain age, you shouldn't be able to have these math skills. How, in what order you do them, it can be up to the parent and child working together. A certain amount of time was spent in fairly formal lessons, but much of the day was the kids to arrange as they chose, and so I would need to spend formal time with one and while the other was doing things on his or her own, and vice versa, for one thing. Before we even had our own children, we had a family of neighbor daughters who used to come over and borrow our books for their school project. So we just have lots of stuff around. And I simply investigated what was in the area. I remember with Diana, we had a series of books called Early Settlers that were wonderful. They made history, and they weren't... While we learned history, we went through these early settler books, which talked about things like early settlers' houses, early settlers' food, early settlers' amusements, various aspects of daily life. So we would do some history, and then we would learn how people would have actually been living at that time. And that was just out of the library. Also, there's good stuff on television, on TVO. Now, we never had cable, so TVO was our only educational station, but we'd do French lessons on TVO, and they did a series once which was run at a daytime hour and at an evening hour called, I think, The Story of Canada, and it was a beautiful history lesson. It just started back pre-European influence and brought up to the present. So there were lots of different things, and the community had things. We would go to the Children's Museum for each new exhibit. We would go to the art gallery and the Royal Ontario Museum. My brother-in-law was a teacher. He's since retired, but he was teaching grades 2, 3, and 4, maybe as high as 5, but he taught in those years. So he used to invite Diana to go along on his class's field trips. We had various little things like that that we would utilize in the community, you know, things to go see and learn about. Got lots of books. David Suzuki had a number for young children up to about grade 5 or 6. Both of our backgrounds are in science. My husband studied physics. I'm a biologist. So we were able to stay ahead of them and find the right kinds of books. Sometimes we bought them. Sometimes they were library books. The equipment, well, we had a chemistry set. Then there are various books you can get that teach you how to do scientific experiments with ordinary things in your home. You can get these from the library or from the teacher's store. It used to be called Moyer's. I think now it's just the teacher's store, and they've got lots of good stuff. But as far as things like a microscope, we have a microscope. We got a chemistry set, so we had a burner and test tubes and pipettes and things like that. For most of the kinds of things that you would learn in elementary school, in, for instance, physics, that's just things around the house for the most part. There's not a lot of extra equipment. I guess some things like electricity and magnetism, you might need a few more things, but you can usually find them somewhere. Nearly everybody knows somebody who teaches science somewhere, maybe at Mac, and you can usually persuade people to let you have a bit of this or that for some kinds of things, or to take someone into their lab for a day. Now, we never actually did that, but I know other homeschoolers who have. They've got a friend who teaches chemistry or something and says, would you be interested in giving a day to mentor my child in an area? In Quaker meeting, it's different from most churches in that it forms a very close community. It's almost like family. So our kids grew up with other adults who took a very personal interest in their upbringing and their education, and who had a variety of skills. So I remember Diana going once to Helen Brinks, who is a potter, and learning how she potted and how she fired things, and you know, the whole process. And as I say, there was never anything formal where one adult took a child under his or her wing for a considerable period. But when we wanted to know something, there was nearly always someone we could ask and someone who would give some time. As for people outside the Quaker meeting, that happened once in a while, but I would say most of the mentoring came from people in Quaker meeting, which is an amazing resource. I'm not even sure that I would have got into homeschooling if I hadn't been in meeting, because I knew there was so much support.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFM.
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 97.9 FM, and Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine?
When I started homeschooling, there had been, to the memory of anybody who was then associated with Wentworth County School Board, there was only one other person who had done homeschooling, and she had hit a very bad patch in her personal life and really gone pretty nutsy. And so their experience with homeschooling was not very positive. So when we started, there was a lot of suspicion and a great deal of monitoring, really. Emily recalls having been visited by people from the school board several times. But it all eased up when they found out things were going well. And in fact, the superintendent of special program at one point said during a special education advisory committee meeting, "I wish we could educate all the children on our board as well as Mrs. Shepherd's children are being educated." So they got off my back after a while. And during the same period, more people were starting to homeschool. And now there are various associations right here in the area. At that time, there was the Ontario Homeschoolers Association and the Canadian Alliance of Homeschoolers, and I subscribed to both their newsletters, and there was some support there, but it was at a distance. And also, I was a member of Association for Bright Children, so I could get their newsletter and find out what kinds of books were available and this sort of thing, what kinds of conferences I could attend. I didn't ever, actually, but I had those opportunities. So the support was a bit remote at that time. Now I know there are a lot more things available locally, but there never was much for high schooling. Most people apparently went to high school after homeschooling in elementary school. And I think in Diana's experience, and again you can ask her, but she was able, by the time she got to high school, to feel in control of her own education much more than kids who just come through the public system and had it handed to them. So I think that she was able to have an educational experience a little more like homeschooling, even in the public school system, because of having been a participant in her own learning processes for a long time. As for the high school, we did most of the work through the Independent Learning Center, which was Ontario's Ministry of Education's name for correspondence. But unless the student was either over 16 or in a remote area or unable physically to attend school, you couldn't have the work monitored and graded by a teacher for free. We had to buy the course material, and I had to do the grading, and that's how Ben got through most of his high school years. That is not an option anymore, as I understand it, although, if anybody is interested, I have all of his old material and could pass it on to someone else if they were interested. Ben, who did the high school homeschooling, was not the first homeschooler in the family, went to Queens, hasn't graduated. He's sort of a classic gifted underachiever. He is interested in everything and is presently trying to establish himself in a computer-based business. Emily went to the University of Guelph and graduated and is about, in less than a month, to go to Japan to teach English. Diana graduated from Wilfrid Laurier University, is getting her master's degree in French literature, and is about to go to teacher's college. And Beth She will be entering her third year at the University of Boston.
Up in the morning and out to school. Mother says there'll be no work next year. Qualifications, what's the golden rule? And now just pieces of paper. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. If you look the part, you'll get the job. In last year's trousers and your old school shoes. The truth is, son, it's a buyer's market. They can't afford to pick and choose. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because I dress like this doesn't mean I'm a communist. The factories are closing and the army's full. I'm going to do what I've come to see. In the land of the free, there's only a future for the chosen few. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. You're on top of the scrap heap. At 16 you were top of your class. All they taught you at school was how to be a good worker. System has failed, you don't fail yourself. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
We built a child-sized picnic table and it incorporated all kinds of lessons. She had to measure, she had to add, and you know, add measurements, and we modified it a little bit from the plans. So, and other things like that for all of the ones who were homeschooling. There was something that we wanted to do and we just made it into a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Of course, they also had extracurricular activities. They did dance and music lessons and things like this. But Diana gave a party in which she invited everybody to come in costume from pioneer days, that sort of thing. And she served everything that would have been served in the 1800s. So we did lots of fun things that also had a learning component. We did have a certain amount of formal lessons each day.
Well, for a while I wasn't really aware of the fact that I was really different, because I was happy enough to leave school, public school that is. I think I enjoyed kindergarten pretty well, but grade one was different because I was in a split class, and I think I just felt, well, bored and overwhelmed at the same time. And so I was happy to get out of school, but then I can remember probably first around grade three or four starting to get really tired of explaining to people when they would ask me where I went to school, and I would just feel like, oh, this is the thousandth time I've had to explain this. And they always said things like, oh, so do you get to go to school in your pajamas? And I just, oh, you're not getting the point. I'm glad that I had the extracurricular activities that I had, because when I look back on when I entered public school again and in grade nine, I was very, very quiet. I didn't feel like I was shy, but I was. You know, I had had dance classes and figure skating, and I went to summer camp and things like that. So it wasn't as if I didn't know how to make friends, but I definitely wasn't a gratuitous talker, or, you know, I wasn't exactly gregarious. If I hadn't had those things, I think I might have been painfully shy, but it's hard to say. I mean, it's partly my personality. So as for the lessons themselves, I mean, I think that I'm not sure if it can work with every family. I mean, I'm not sure whether my mother and I had a good relationship because of the homeschooling, or whether it was the other way around, whether we were able to do it because we had a good relationship already. I enjoyed it. I can remember doing, getting learning out of everyday things, like she was just saying, how we would go to the grocery store and she would have me do the tab, or we would go on a walk and have to look up the bugs or the leaves or whatever. And it was, I think it's a useful tool to realize that everything that you do has learning involved. Yeah, cooking, things like that, for sure. I mean, we did have, especially in grade 8, we did have the curriculum, and we tried to follow it specifically so that I would know where I was when I got into grade 9. But it was very good to be able to have the one-on-one. She knew exactly where my weaknesses were, and she could work on those. I remember spending endless hours on long division, which I hated. But, I mean, I learned it because we worked on it so hard. I remember having sort of emotional moments and getting really upset. And I used to say that I hated math, and she would have me do algebra so that I could find out that there were things that were more fun than long division. But
there's almost anything that's more fun than long division.
Yeah. Because some of what I did was on my own, we weren't always together, so in some ways that was good. I can remember I had to do write-ups every day of what I had done and, how long I spent on each thing and so on, and I always thought that was such a pain to do that, but it did make sure that I got a decent amount of work done every day, and that I stuck to the schedule more or less. For the most part, I had kind of a schedule in the morning of things that I needed to get done, which included just chores around the house and things. I had to clean my room and stuff. In the afternoon, I think that I had certain days of the week where I would concentrate on certain subjects. If I didn't get whatever it was, if I had a math sheet or something like that I had to get done, if I didn't get it done during school hours, I had to get it done during the day. So, if it was in my best interest to do the things that needed to be done during the day so that I could stop. It's just a very different thing. I mean, obviously I didn't have a lot to compare it to. I didn't really know what it would be like to be in public school. I think it was partly being in a situation where the things that I was doing right were going to be appreciated and the things that I was doing wrong were going to be worked on. And I knew that either way, there was someone there to deal with me directly. Looking back, I think I can see that more clearly than I saw at the time, but it was fun. It was a good way to learn about things on a daily basis that people take for granted after they learn them, but learning them when they're in context is a really important thing. Learning why do I have to learn to do this type of math or this type of science? Well, it will come in useful in this particular situation, and it's good to know that, because as a child you don't necessarily get taught why you need to know this, and I think kids feel frustrated sometimes. I didn't have a lot of checkups from the board or anything like that. I think that was more my sister. So I didn't usually feel very monitored in terms of the school board. But I can remember, I was a bit of a procrastinator, and I can remember my brother actually giving me a lecture about procrastination and how I needed to, once I would get into public school, I would really need to know how to budget my time or whatever. And so when I did get to public school, I was scared enough that I made the transition because I was nervous that I was going to not know how to do things, so I worked really hard when I first got there. One of the things that really changed for me when I got to high school was the idea that people do things for marks as opposed to doing things for learning. I mean, kids were flabbergasted when I said I never had a test. I never had a test. I just learned things so that I knew them, and once I knew them, that was fine. The idea of having marks for things, I mean, she would give a mark of how well I'd done, but it wasn't based on anything. It wasn't compared against any other kids. So it didn't, it was only my own standards that I had to worry about. If you're aiming for university, you do have to worry about it. It's even worse in university. I mean, people are very, very concerned with, if this is not on the exam, I'm not going to bother learning it because I've got too much to do. So I did change, but I think that it was that moment where I went, oh, this is why people are doing things. That's weird. When I sort of realized that was different, it was a good lesson to learn and to sort of keep in mind, even though it's hard to do. I mean, you do have to start thinking about marks at some point, but it was good to remember, well, there's another reason to learn this. It's because it's useful or it's interesting or whatever. So I wanted to teach high school. In a way, I think I never really considered teaching elementary school because I wasn't in the system, so I don't have any memories of it. I don't know how I'd want to be, whereas in terms of high school, I remember the teachers that I liked most and that stimulated me most, and that's how I'd like to teach in the future. Because I had a chance to really see what it is to be learning between two people, to have a sort of a teaching and learning experience one-on-one, and I've done a fair amount of tutoring and I've done teaching-related activities, and I can still remember which types of things are really useful, whether you have a whole group or whether you just have one person. It's really, something that's always really interested me. How you can actually get a kid to learn something that they're not that interested in or don't think that they're interested in, or, you know, how to make it sound good enough that they'll get interested on their own. I'm planning to teach French. I guess it was in high school that I really figured out that I had a penchant for it and really enjoyed it and so on. I spent a week in Quebec when I was in high school, just as a, you know, school trip, and that wasn't, you don't really get immersed at all. After my second year of university, I went to Quebec on a 5-week bursary, and it was invaluable. It was really, really, learned a lot. And then actually the year after I graduated, before I did my master's, I was in France teaching English, actually. So those are my two main immersion experiences, and they're just, it really, really makes a huge difference.
As I say, if you're faced with a gifted child who just seems to be slurping up knowledge right and left, and a child who's struggling to learn to read, where do you put your time? It's too bad for gifted children, and I don't think it's right, but it's a sort of fact of life. So in homeschooling, you can see where the kid's going to fly on his or her own, and other places where they need more challenges and more help from you. So I think homeschooling is great for gifted kids if the parents feel they can handle it. Most parents of gifted kids are themselves at least very bright and probably gifted. That giftedness doesn't usually come out of nowhere. So it's a matter of confidence, I think. I never took Latin. So I said, I think I may be able to keep one step ahead because I've taken more languages than you have. And so I had just a little bit more command of how to go about learning a language. So I'd stay about 2 chapters ahead of him, and I could pick up his errors, but there's nothing to say that I didn't make some myself. And he was well aware we were kind of learning together. But he had actually learned to respect this back in grade 2 when he had a teacher, she was a wonderful teacher, who said if a child didn't know how to spell a word, she'd say, you know, I'm not too sure of that myself because I'm a bad speller, but you know what I do? I go look it up, and we find out. And so she taught kids way back then that adults learn too, and that sometimes learning is a matter of people finding the way together rather than someone being the big authority. And if you can have that kind of attitude in your kid, you can get away with a lot more. That is to say, I could say, I'm not too sure about this. Let's find a book and look it up. And we were always going to the library, and we had a lot of things already in the house. So just the fact that he might have been more intelligent than I, or maybe not, you know, these standards keep changing, and was just ready to learn a whole lot more than I might have available in my mind on a certain subject, didn't stop us from going and finding it out together. If they're gifted, or even just what would be classified as very bright, usually they can figure out at what level they need to be participating in an activity and what they can get out of it. And the fact that they're at different levels is somewhat compensated for by the fact that they're only 3 instead of 20. So you can see that someone is not really ready to have this set of facts, and so she can operate on this set instead.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.